So you see the Apostle Paul here in Acts chapter 15 and 16. He's had a dispute in chapter number 15. And Paul and Silas has departed here. And verse number 16, chapter 16, verse number 1, that's where I'm going to start reading. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed. But his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Verse number 3, him would Paul have to go forth with him and took and circumcised him because the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities and delivered them the decrees for to keep, and were ordained of the apostles and the elders which were at Jerusalem, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. And now when they had gone throughout Perga and the regions of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. If you want to look for the deep theological controversial meaning of this verse of scripture, you will have to look somewhere besides me. The word of God just tells me the Holy Ghost just spoke to them and said, don't do it. That's not too complicated, is it? You mean the Holy Ghost would tell a man of God, don't go somewhere? Well, if you don't believe that, go ahead and tear that page out. I don't know what else to say to you. After then were come to Mysia and essayed to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit, capital S, the person of the Holy Ghost, suffered them not. He did not allow them to go. They passed by Mysia and came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and next to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is a chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were there in the city abiding certain days. Now you get to this point, and you see the great man of God, the Apostle Paul, has been told by the Holy Ghost, don't you go into Asia Minor. Don't you go there. And now he's found his way down here in these many days that he's traveling, and he's sitting in a city in Macedonia, and he don't know where to go. And he's not sure what to do. Man, that sounds like Preacher Reeves a few weeks ago sitting in that motel room over there. And the Word of God said he was in the city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. The word wont, W-O-N-T there, means accustomed. It was the custom that there were some Jews who met here and they prayed and sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. In other words, there's not even a congregation. There's not enough Jewish men there. It takes 10 Orthodox Jewish men to even form a synagogue, and they didn't even have one. This is just some precious ladies doing the best they knew how to do, going down by a riverside and just praying. And God, in his sovereign providential wisdom, sent the greatest man of God that ever walked in shoe leather on planet Earth in the New Testament church economy and sent him down there to preach to them. Wow. That blows my mind. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. I'll come back to that in a minute. Which worship God heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. When she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. I'm just going to hit a few high spots, and I'm really just going to talk to you for a minute about the conversion of Lydia. I give you three or four things by way of alliteration, and I'm just going to talk to you a minute. First of all, is the providence of God. The word providence has the idea of providing. That's just what it means. It just means providence. It shows you how God has made a provision for something, and how before we even knew there was a need, God already had the answer for the need that we had. That's the providence of God. It's how He works in our lives. It's why we can trust Him. Because when we can't see any way out, and we don't know how God's going to fix a situation, and we don't even know what He's up to. I've got a dear, dear, blessed man of God that I love, and he tells me every once in a while, Brother Reeves, God's always up to something. God's always up to something, but it's up to us to trust Him with the faith that He gives us. And I promise you, child of God, if we will trust Him, and I mean sincerely trust the Lord Jesus with our life, He's our Savior. We say we're trusting Him with our eternity. Why can we not trust Him with the simplest, most mundane things of life, like Sister Lori sang about, paying a power bill, doing the little things in our life that need to be done? The Lord knows what our need is. God's providentially made a way for everything that we need in our life. I bless His holy name for how God's taken care of me time and time again in my life, how God's worked out those providential things that I didn't know what God was doing and I didn't know how He was doing. A few years ago, we were going to Montana to preach, and we were really studying about going to help another young preacher that was working in a church in the Flathead Indian Reservation in Montana. And I'll be honest with you, another family was going, and we, Sister Lori, I didn't have the money. We didn't have the finances to go. We didn't have money for motel rooms. And we're going to have to go 3 days' journey. It's 40-some-odd hours with the wheels rolling just to get where we were going to. And we were in a position that I knew and I understood that God wanted us to go. And I'm not always an advocate of putting things on a credit card. I hate credit. But I'll be honest with you, in this situation, I realized we're just going to have to do what we're going to have to do. We slept in Walmart parking lots. We did what we needed to do to get there. God let us have some beautiful services. Had one blessed service. Had an entire Amish family. An Amish family came to hear a slobbering Baptist preacher, a redneck hillbilly from North Carolina, preach the Word of God in a house service, and God moved and did some sweet things, and we got back from there. And I'm thinking, as I'm going into church the next Sunday morning after we got back from this trip, well, Lord, I'm not sure how You're going to take care of all this. I done run up a $1,000 credit card bill going on this trip, and I'm not sure how this is going, but I'm glad I went, Lord. Thank You for letting us go. Walking in the door of the church, a lady met me with just a sweet little card, and she's just one of those ladies that once in a while would give you a card. I opened up that card, and Sister Stephanie, there's a check taped to that card for $1,000. I said there was a check for $1,000 taped into that card. God, in His providential wisdom, knows how to take care of His children if we could just trust Him. I'm here to testify to you tonight, Brother Ed. You're a little bit older than I am. You've been a little farther down the road. You've seen a little farther than I've seen. And God ain't never let you down, has He? And He ain't going to start now. We got to learn to trust Him and let Him be God. And even when we don't know what God's doing, even when we don't understand what God's doing, God's still doing the providence of God. Verse 6, now when they had gone through Perga in the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After that, they were come to Mysia, and they essayed to go unto Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. God would not allow this man of God to go and preach in Asia Minor. Did you understand that this girl, Lydia, was from the a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira? Do you know where Thyatira is? In Asia Minor. Why wouldn't God let the man of God go to Asia Minor? Because God knew Lydia wasn't at home. God knew where she was. She wasn't in Asia. Lydia was on the continent of Europe. And Paul traveled these many days to another continent, away from Asia, onto the continent of Europe. Why? Because God was wanting to save one little old lady named Lydia. Glory to God. I don't know what that does for you, but that does something for me. My wife and I have prayed and poured our heart out before God for the last 2 years, and we've asked God, show us Lydia. God, what are we doing here? Why are we in Fairview, North Carolina? I'm looking for Lydia. That's why I'm here. God's providential wisdom and God's providential work has brought us together in this place tonight. Lydia wasn't looking for God. Lydia was trying to make a living. Lydia was trying to do the best she could with what she had, but God was looking for Lydia. Jonah chapter 2 verse 9 said, salvation is of the Lord. Psalm 37:39 says, but salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Romans 3:11 said, there's none that understandeth and none that seeketh after God. Genesis 3:8, when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? I said this to you the other night. It's worth saying 100 more times. God didn't need to know where Adam was. God knew where Adam was. Well, why did he ask him where he was? Because God wanted Adam to know where Adam was. God was shaking Adam's tree, wanted him to know, boy, what are you doing hiding in the bushes? Adam messed up, and Adam wasn't looking for God. But God come looking for Adam. And if God had not sought after Adam, Adam would have died in the bushes and never come to God. And I see the providence of God, that God so cared about this one little woman, a hard-working mother. God so cared about her that he was willing to go where she was to try to find her. I'm going to tell you what, God cares enough about little sheep that he'll send them a shepherd. He'll send them somebody to feed them the truth of the Word of God. God wasn't going to let you starve to death. Can I ask you a silly question? I know you've been through some hurts. I know you've been through some hard times. And I'm not asking you to raise your hands, but if you want to be honest, some of you been in a place in the last few months you felt like, well, God's just gone and left us alone, and here we are, and what are we going to do? And our church is going to fall apart, and we don't know what to do. We ain't got enough sense to put this thing together. Lord, we're tired of trying to fix this thing ourselves. And you know what? God's so big, and God cares so much about a little group of people meeting over here in Fairview, North Carolina, that God sovereignly, in his providential plan, before he ever laid the mud seals of this world, worked it out, that God was going to give you a preacher. God was going to give you a man that loved you, and somebody you could love, and somebody you could work with and labor with. And God wasn't going to shut the doors of this church. God, that wasn't God's plan. And look, this morning, you see folks coming in the house of God. How encouraging is that to see new folks coming? Last week, folks walked in this building that just drove by and saw a sign, and God put it in their heart to stop in the house of God. And it's the providence of God that God saw fit through the eons of time to put this building right here in this place, because God knew there's going to be a Lydia somewhere around here going to need some help. You're here for, church. Don't drop the ball. Don't fail what God's given you, what God's doing for you. I see the providence of God. I see the preaching of the gospel. Verse number 14, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. The word heard here is one of those words that have double meanings. It means that she was in the audience, but it means more than the fact that she was just there in the audience. It means she understood what he was saying. There was someone left this building last week, told me on their way out through the parking lot, preacher, when you told that story of that little worm curling up in the fire, that's me. That's me. I've been fighting against God. I've been crawling all around trying to find something and trying to get a hold of something, and that's me. God showed me today that I just need to curl up in a ball and let him rescue me. The preaching of the word of God, it's more than just sitting in the audience, but it's you having an ear to be able to hear what's being said, that the Spirit of God can take the word of God. And I say this, I'm not just trying to be funny, but it just illustrates the whole deal. But I can stand up here and be talking about apples or oranges, and God speaking to you about kumquats. That's the power of the preaching of the word of God. I can be preaching about one thing, and God the Holy Ghost hammering inside your heart about something else. Boy, that's power. That's the power of the word of God. That's the power of hearing. Not only the difference between an audience and understanding, the difference between hearing it in your head and hearing it in your heart. God spoke to some people's hearts this morning, and I sure do thank him, and I sure do give him glory. How did she understand? I mean, what helped Lydia to be able to not just be in the audience, but to understand? What helped her not to just hear this with her head, but with her heart? The word of God said, whose heart the Lord opened. My mama was 81 years old when God saved her. My daddy was a Baptist preacher, loved God, preached, pastored, was an evangelist, preached all over. My mama said under his ministry, as lost as Hogan's goat. Why didn't my mama get saved a lot earlier than she did? Because God had not opened her heart. Hey, listen, I keep telling you folks, I ain't a Calvinist, but I got enough sense to know we're not in charge. Salvation's of the Lord. God's got to open your heart. Now, God holds you responsible. You're going to have to answer when he calls. But it's up to God to open up your heart. And he opened the heart of Lydia through the preaching of the gospel. But I see something before the preacher got there that absolutely applies to the church. And if we get a hold of this, I see practical guidance. The word of God said that Lydia worshiped God. Well, what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean what it means today in this economy, in this place, and what we're talking about worshiping in this building. But the word worship here by definition means a reverence and a respect. But it does not mean she loved God, because she didn't know God. But she did reverence him and she did respect him. And quite honestly, what was Lydia doing here? Sister Sheila, she was doing the best she could do with what she had to work with. I don't know. There's a lot of conjecture about her name and where she came from, and was she a Jewish or was she not? She was probably a Gentile. She probably wasn't even a Jew. Sister Judy, this is probably not her native religion, but she has got to this place, and somehow or another, by the providence of God, she has stumbled upon some ladies. Did you hear me? She stumbled on some ladies that loved God. And they've said, why don't you come out to the river where we meet for prayer meeting? We ain't got a preacher. We ain't got a man of God. We ain't got a building. We ain't got a church to meet in. We're just some ladies that go down to the river, and we're trying to seek God and do the best we know how with what we've got. And Lydia said, you know what? There's something different about these gals. I think I'll go with them. And there was some practical guidance. Listen, I love you. I'm your friend. I'm trying to teach you. I don't want you to be totally dependent on me for your spirituality. You need to know how to walk with God as your pastor. I feel it's my responsibility to teach you how to walk with God in such a way you can be full of the Holy Ghost of God, and you can go into work, or you can go into Walmart, or if you work at Walmart, you can go to work at Walmart, or wherever it is that you are and whatever you do. And you have the power. Listen, I doubt very seriously, Miss Angie, I'm going to walk in food line and see you up on that rubber belt preaching. If I do, I'm running. But I doubt I'm going to see that, okay? But guess what? You sure do have a lot of people walk through your line you can be a light to, and you can be salt to. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? I'm talking about practical guidance. I'm talking about folks taking what you've got, the talents God's give you, the life that God's give you. Listen, you have encounters with people every day that Preacher Mike will never meet. I'll never see those people. I'll never be able to influence those people, except the influence I could have over you, and then that influence can be spread abroad from you unto them. Are you seeing what I'm saying? You take what God gives you and use it where you're at and bloom where you're planted. Practical guidance. Reverence, respect, not love. Not a real Jewish synagogue. There's a lot of souls today that don't have a legitimate church to go to. Do you know that? All across this country, there's folks don't have a legitimate church. And I'll tell you what you can do. You can be salt and you can be light. And you can do the best you can do to reach those people. I'm going to tell you two of the greatest things you can do for a lost person. Two of the greatest things you can do. And I'm going to give you this, and you better get a hold of this. Number one, you can tell them what God did for you. When God gives you favor with people, you can share with them what God did for you. But I'll tell you something else. I read this yesterday. I read that only a tiny fractional percent of people who come to church because of door-to-door visitation. I also read in that same article that only a tiny percentage of people that ever come to church came to church because of some public advertising. But I did find in that article that the vast and overwhelming majority of people that visit church come because somebody invited them to come to church. You know, one of the greatest things you can do, hey, them folks down there where you work at and them folks you hang out with, can I give you a thing or two they don't need to hear? Well, it's Wednesday and we got to go to church tonight. And if I don't go, that preacher's going, he'll fuss at me and he'll think I've done run off and got drunk or something. So I, you know, bless his heart, he's ignorant, got two left feet and both of them in his mouth most of the time. But I guess I'm going to go sit through it one more time. Your mama used to say, if you ain't got something good to say, keep your mouth shut. You know what people need to hear? People need to hear genuine. I'm not talking about made up, but I'm talking about God do something in your heart and you leave this building with some joy that don't leave you tonight and you wake up tomorrow and you still got some joy thinking about what God did in the service last night or what God did in the service this morning, and you get to work, somebody look at you and say, what are you all smiling about? You got something to tell them. I tell you what, God's been helping us over the church, and God's been meeting with us. I don't know, you go to church anywhere, God meet with you where you go, because sometimes I sure like for you to come to church with me. And you know as good as anybody knows, there's folks around you used to go to church, they don't go to church no more. I mean, bless your heart, as much as God gives you liberty to, find somebody and get on their case. I mean, like a bloodhound, get on them. Say, hey, you need to go to church with me. Some of them, you aggravate enough, they'll come just to get you off their back. I'm just being funny, but the fact of the matter is, did you know there's a lot of folks that are sitting out there that are just hurting? Can I say this to you tonight, and you get a hold of this? Second leading cause of death in America among teenagers is suicide. Do you not understand that there's enough people out there that are really hurting, that might appreciate somebody genuinely being good to them and just loving them? There's a young man that I've got great confidence in. He's not saved. He doesn't profess to be saved. He makes no in any kind of claims about Christianity whatsoever. He was a hero in my book, a great young man, went to war, was in the Marine Corps. My wife and I are close to him, and I love him very dearly. And he's studied, and he's had all kinds of study opportunities, educational opportunities, and got a great job. And there's a lot of things that I could say about this young man. And God put it in my heart, Miss Judy, yesterday. God put it in my heart. Why don't you send him a text and tell him you love him? Veterans Day, you got respect for him. He spent time in the Marine Corps. He was over there in Afghanistan. Why don't you just send this young man a text and tell him you love him? You know, tough Marine text me back and said, you don't know how bad I needed to hear that. Brother Ed, there's folks up and down these roads out here that are hurting. I got enough sense to know this world ain't their friend. This world ain't never done them no good. This world ain't never done nothing to bless them or help them. But God could put it in your heart and my heart and this church to be light and be salt. And there's enough people around that are just hurting. Would just appreciate somebody being kind to them, loving them, and letting them know they care about them. And I told these girls the other Sunday, listen, me and Sister Lori, we don't have grandchildren. We don't have children. If you ask my wife, she's got any kids, she just says the one she's married to. But every once in a while, I just like to find people just to love and be good to. Hey, listen, just because I want to. You don't need a better excuse than that. There's folks out there in this world that are hurting, and they need you. They need some practical guidance from somebody. The scripture said she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And the word attended means to regard, to adhere, to take heed. And here she is doing the best she knows how to do with what she's got until the man of God comes along. Did you know and did you realize how a holy God judges fallen men and how he can remain fair when he judges men? God judges men based upon the light that they've been given. Did you know that? That's how God judges men. He judges men on the light they've been given. Not everybody's had the same amount of light. Not everybody's supposed to know everything. A lot of folks are ignorant like me. I don't know much. And God judges me based on what I know and what I know to do and how I know to do. And there are some people out there, don't get frustrated with them, okay? Don't get frustrated with sinners for being true to their nature. Don't get mad at that horse for being true to its nature. It's got a nature. They do what they do. Don't get mad at a sinner. Don't get frustrated at people for being true to their nature. And don't get frustrated with people because they don't know how they're supposed to do some things, how they're supposed to act. Do you know the Word of God said in Luke 12:47, the servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more. I don't want to see anybody go to hell from anywhere, but I sure don't want to see somebody go to hell from a church pew. Here at this church at Pleasant Grove, with all the light that you've seen, because it'll be many stripes. What's that talking about, preacher? That's talking about the degree of punishment in the lake of fire. That's what that's talking about. I see the practical guidance, and I'm through. We're going home. I see the practice of godliness. Verse 15, when she was baptized and her household. Why was she baptized? What do you think? What do you think the Apostle Paul told her? It said she attended unto the things that were spoken of him. Do you think he was giving her a recipe for a banana pudding? He was giving her the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And when we're baptized, it is an outward thing that we do to testify. It's an outward testimony of what God has done on the inside about death, burial, and resurrection, to show that we've been resurrected in Christ Jesus. And she did that. Now, I know that the Roman Catholics are going to want to argue with you, and I know there's other denominations going to want to argue with you that this is baptismal regeneration, and it's reason for having children baptized, because it says she was baptized in her household. Well, what does it mean, her household? Well, I'm not a genius, but does that not imply that her household must have believed the same gospel she believed? You know what that tells me? She had her youngins with her at church. She had her youngins with her at church. They believed the gospel. And she said, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And up until this point in her life, her actions were based on that practical guidance. She was doing the best she knew how to do with what she had. But now something's different in Lydia. The actions of Lydia are based on the love of God that's been shed abroad in her heart. Christian obedience, motives, and intentions are now pleasing to God, and she can now truly and honestly worship in spirit and in truth. Well, I see the conversion of Lydia. But it began with the providence of God, getting a preacher there, getting a man of God, putting things together with these people. You'd have to be deaf, dumb, blind, and stupid, and I can say that with authority because I've been all of it. Deaf, dumb, blind, and stupid not to see that God has put us together. Do you believe that or not? God put us together for a purpose. There's Lydias in this community, and God wants to get them. God wants to give them the gospel, and that's what we're here for. I want to do my best. Listen, I love you folks. I care about you, and I want to see you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And I want to see you get so close to God that you can feel His heartbeat. And when sinners come in, I want them to know they're loved and they're cared for. When somebody walks in these doors and you don't know them, this ought to be the friendliest place in the country. This ought to be the friendliest place in the community. There ought to be people that flood to somebody new and just shake their hand. You say, well, I'm kind of shy. Well, good grief. You go to Walmart, don't you? You know, you can't be so shy. Just go to somebody. How do you think they feel? They're new. And they're awkward and out of place, feeling in their heart. Go to them. Just say, boy, I don't know you, but I'm glad to see you. I appreciate you being here today. But you know what? Before we can help anybody out there, we got to get some help for ourselves. And that's kind of what the Lord's been doing the last few days, last few weeks, last few services. God's been encouraging us. I know He's encouraged me. He's blessed my heart. And you folks have been so kind, so good to us. And I love you with all my heart. Stand to your feet tonight. We're going to go home.